Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. On this special episode of A Quick Shot of Romance, we're doing an author spotlight, and today I am welcoming Maria Lewis. Hi, Maria.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, so we have had you on the show before, but it has been a while. So before we talk Slapshot, which is your newest release, we're going to do some get to know you stuff. And if you have answered these before, I apologize. But a lot of our listeners are new, so we're going to just do it all over again.
Sounds good to me.
So what initially drew you to romance as a writer? Because I know you are a historian.
Yes.
Educated.
I've always loved reading romance. Like just that's, I don't want to say that I don't read anything else. So I will read like historical nonfiction books, and I like do get excited about that. But when it comes to fiction, I don't read anything besides romance, and I've never read anything besides romance. So I think the first ones I stumbled across were in the library. Avon, I always never know how to pronounce it. They had a YA historical line back in like the early 2000s, and Beverly Jenkins wrote one, and that was the first romance that I ever read. And I like went through the entire like line that they had produced, and it was like really popular historical authors, and they just decided to be like, here, write these YA books. And but they didn't do more than like one, so I think it was like 10 total, and they
That
never
was like a collaboration series
yeah
that you
and they
did.
never redid them. Like, and by redid them, I mean like I never saw that they reopened that line up, if you will. So I guess I don't know if it was successful or not, but it was successful to me. And that kind of started just, I don't want to say a downhill slope, but I just went down the rabbit hole from there. And I was going into the adult section as like, you know, a 12-year-old, and like, there are more, what other books are over here? And then
You're like, yes, I know, but these are
yes.
the ones that I
And then
want.
I never turned back. So romance has always been my favorite thing to read. I will not read anything else again, unless it's like a historical nonfiction.
Yeah. It's funny because my mom got, and I've talked about it before on the show, but like my mom used to get the boxes of Harlequins in the mail. And so we always had the romance books like everywhere through our house. And I'd like take one and go sit in like a corner of the house and like just read it. And I read really fast, so I could go through like one of those books in a day because they're only like 225, 250
Yeah, they're
pages.
short.
But like my mom was such an avid romance reader. I was like, yeah, what's this all about? What are you reading in these books that you have here? So I definitely started reading them way before like I probably should have been.
I love that though. My mom never read romance. She's not, she has really bad dyslexia. So reading, like, she's more of a visual person in the terms of she'll take in content visually versus reading it. And so she was never a big reader, but my grandmother, actually, she would bring back translated Harlequin books from Greece that she'd buy, and then she'd bring them back. And so I remember like picking those up. But of course, even though I read and spoke Greek, some of the words in there were not things that I was ever taught. So I would be like, what does that mean? I don't understand.
Well, it's almost
And
like slang words that like you're not like knowing exactly what they are.
yeah, especially like, you know, like the desire line and stuff like that. Like to like a 12, 13-year-old, you're like, I don't, what, like, not that I didn't know, but reading it in a different language when you're not taught certain words was always interesting.
Mom, the context clues at 12 are very different than context clues at
Yeah, so look,
25.
I wouldn't understand like a solid like three lines, and then I'd understand before and after. I'm like, okay, I guess I can kind of figure out what exactly was going on in that moment.
So romance books themselves like often have like strong emotional arcs, which you're not afraid of the emotion and like the harder topics sometimes. But how do you find the balance between the romantic relationship with the other elements of your stories?
I think it depends if I'm writing dark or if I'm writing more lighter contemporary, because I treat them differently in both aspects. So in my lighter stuff, I try really, really hard to find a proper balance between heavy emotional ties and heavier themes, but treating them with a lighter hand than I would in one of my dark romance books, for example. And I try to make sure that around the heaviness is light. Like it's lots of banter between the couple, between the secondary characters, and even within that, like the romantic element, I want to make sure that if there is some emotional thing happening, it's propelling them forward. As opposed to perhaps one of the characters having a past or a certain trauma that stays with them but doesn't lead to certain discussions between the hero and heroine. Because I think when it allows that door to open between them, it creates a vulnerability, which I think makes it really interesting to read, both of them kind of being stripped down. So, but when it's on my darker stuff, I really rely on sometimes the external world and elements to push them together. So, yeah. So in the lighter books, it's that emotional vulnerability that's kind of the link between them, as opposed to perhaps like, I don't know, someone shooting at them and they're on the run. You gotta look at it from two different sides. Like one is like a very physical threat, and the other one, I don't want to say an emotional threat, but it's like an emotional bonding between them. So
So the third act breakup, I know we're just kind of jumping around, but
no,
because
I love it.
that is like my headspace today. But like, so the third act breakup, like there's a lot of different like feelings about the third act breakup, and the lack of third act breakup is like very trendy right now. How do you feel about that? Because Slapshot did not have it, but you have books that have them.
Yes, I think for me, I think it's very couple specific. And even if there's not a traditional third act breakup, there needs to be a moment in the book for me that they're on the cusp of will this happen or won't this happen? So we'll talk more about Slapshot after, but in Slapshot, there is a moment. It just takes place at the beginning as opposed to the end, because at the end, they're in a different place of their relationship, but there's all this external stuff happening. So for example, in Body Check, which is the fourth book in the series, there's also no third act breakup, but it's because they were essentially marriage in crisis. They're divorced, but they're getting back together. So the first almost 60% of the book is them going back and forth in their relationship, hashing out everything that's happened, having those hard talks. So when it gets to that third act breakup, I prefer to show them that, like, they have been through the trenches, and in this moment, they're facing something together and showing the reader that they have learned from where they've been. And they are now together facing some thing that's happening. But when there's no thing that's happening, kind of to show them, I think that the third act breakup is necessary, right? So for me, I like it. And I think it has to happen somewhere in the book, even if it's not necessarily at
Like
that
not the
typical
traditional third act.
traditional, it has to happen somewhere. And I think that, and when it doesn't happen at all, it can kind of feel a bit confusing. You know what I mean? So it has to be somewhere in the book, and for me personally. But if they've had it earlier on or it's spanned most of the book, I really like to show the couple at the end fighting together against something else to show that, they're not going to make the same mistakes that they've perhaps been making for the
Well, it
last
shows that growth,
45, 50% of the book. Because otherwise it starts to feel like, well, are y'all even supposed to be together? You
Well,
can't learn even though you've been hashing this out for 50% already.
and
So
that's one of the hangups like we have with it. Like I read a lot of suspense, which a lot of times suspense doesn't typically have the third act breakup, but there's always that third act like outside
it's
force. But
like,
like that's one of the things. It's like if there's no third act something, then the book just drags on, and then so many authors are not sure like how to end the book, and it just kind of drags at the end. And it's like, come on, something needs to happen. Like there needs to be something going on. Like have a miscommunication, have like a big
something
fight, like
going
even
on.
if it's like a couple hours of something, like something has to like test those like bonds in those last like couple minutes. So I agree, like I need something.
Yeah, like I think I try to look at it is I know that in a lot of like craft books, they talk about like the black moment, right? Like that moment where the character is just Like they're in this essentially a sinkhole. And so I think that that sinkhole moment needs to happen no matter what is going on. And so whether that is the couple miscommunicating and having that third act breakup, or if that means like the world is falling apart around them, or it feels perhaps like the world is falling around upon them and just crashing down, there needs to be that sinkhole moment that they are reinforced together, that they should be together. So I think for me, as long as that black moment, that sinkhole moment exists, like I usually am pretty happy while I'm reading. But if there's like nothing and just like skating all the way to the end, I'm like, wait, what are we doing? Hold on.
It's just not interesting. Like, it's like you just keep reading and reading, and it's like nothing exciting is happening. It's just like, meh.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily need it to be a breakup, especially if the breakup's happened, but I need that black moment. I need that something there to happen.
So readers of romance, as we all know, are very trope specific. Some people love a trope, some people hate a trope, some people will never read a trope. I have found the older that I get, there is no hard no's for me anymore, and it's a
Yeah.
everything's kind of a gray
I'll
area.
read anything once. And then if I'm
Well,
like, oh, I really hated that, I'm like, well, maybe I'll think about it the next time I go to pick one up, but I'll read
and I
everything.
have found like things that I thought were like, I won't like that. Like, I happened to come across a book that it was really intriguing. It's like, because before I was like, cheating is a hard no for me. Like, I will not read a cheating book. But I came across, I don't remember what it was or who it was by, but I couldn't stop reading it.
Cheating books are great.
Because I found
I
it
know
on
that's a
the,
hot take, but
I found it on the
okay.
Tiki Talk. So like, I downloaded it and like, I went to the passage that was on the Tiki Talk, and then I was like, ooh, this is really intriguing. And so like, I read it and I was like, I really kind of like the way this is like happening. And so I'm like, well, cheating isn't a hard no for me apparently anymore. It just depends on how it's written.
I like it when it's messy.
I like a messy book.
I like a messy book, and it's always interesting because I don't write my characters particularly young. They tend to be late 20s into their 30s, late 30s, early 30s, but like all over the 30s board, and then late 20s. And I do think I was having this conversation with a friend that why so many people like new adult or, early 20s is I think because it allows the characters to be inherently messy because everyone knows that at 21, 22, you're just messy. Like you're just figuring your life out or not figuring it out. You're just stumbling your way around. Whereas when I think there's a sort of kind of expectation that when the characters are a bit older, that they should have their lives figured out, which I don't agree with, just because like if they did have everything figured out, there wouldn't be a book. So
Well,
like they have to be messy in some way.
and so funny thing, like to that. So I came across like a reel on Instagram the other day, and it was like somebody was like, she's older, and she's like, you know, when you're younger and you look at people in their 40s and 50s and think they have their shit together, like that, I can't wait to be that. And she's like, and then you get to that age and you do not have your shit together. She's like,
No.
nobody does. It is a facade. Everybody is faking it. Nobody has it together.
Nobody does. I remember being a kid and thinking, like, I was like, wow, like, my parents know everything and they just like handle all of it. And then I think it was like maybe like 6 months ago, I realized that I'm older than my parents were when they had me and I don't know anything. And I was like, I don't think they knew anything either. They just put on the facade to the kids, like, we've
It
got
is
it covered.
just,
Everything is fine.
like literally everybody fakes it till they make it. And it's like, yeah, some people have like things together in some aspects, but they're like a hot train wreck in others. But
Yes.
that's the thing, like, you like, because now, like, I'm at the age where, like, where when I was my daughter's age, like my mom was my age, and thinking back and like, wow, like, one, like, that's super old, and two, like, I'm gonna be so much more like together, like, than like, she has it, seems like she has it together, but she did not, friends, she did
Yeah,
not.
she
And
did not.
also, I am not that old, but
Exactly.
I was convinced that when my mom was 40, she was super old.
You're right. It's a weird thing to, I think, age and realize that you're like, oh, this is not this is not old. And then you hear someone who's like 22 be like, oh, I'm so old. And I'm like, go sit in the corner, please.
You're like,
Just
you're a baby.
you're a baby. It's okay, but you're a baby. So yeah, it's like, I think it's always, so we're talking about like miscommunication. I always think it's interesting because I do tend to write my characters older. So there is, I think, some level of expectations from readers to be like, well, they should have their lives together. And I'm like, they kind of
But we
do, but they
don't,
kind of
friend.
don't at the
We do
same
not.
time. Yeah.
Nobody does. And if they
Nobody does.
do, good for them. But it's
Yes.
rare. It's like a unicorn. You are a
It
unicorn.
is a unicorn, but I don't actually think that I have any tropes that are hard-nosed for me.
Yeah.
Personally.
Do you have any that you would never write, though?
I don't think that I would write a secret baby.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard. I think you have to have a really specific storyline to make it work in today's day and age. Like it has to be very like y'all were both tipsy, wasted. You didn't get his number. You barely remember what he looks like. Like, you know what I mean? Like it
Yeah.
has to be something, because I just feel like it's really, because I remember reading secret baby romances like in the early 2000s, right? Before social media was a thing, before even like people had cell phones, but you didn't have like couldn't
They're
even
emergency only.
they're emergency only, or you had to pay to go on the internet. Like, remember you'd be like, oh no, like backspace a million times because I'm gonna get charged an arm and a leg for this. So I feel like in the 90s, early 2000s, it was, I don't want to say it was easier to write a secret baby romance, but I think there was a lot more forgiveness to how they're set up. Whereas today, I think that they're just really, I think they're a tougher sell. So you have to really figure it out how you're gonna frame it. And I don't crave that trope enough to put in the work to figure it out, if that makes sense. Like there
Oh,
are
no, it
other
does.
types of relationships that I gravitate towards more. So I don't think that I would probably write one just because I don't care enough to create a good interesting story.
Yeah, I love a secret baby, but that's the thing. Like, if it's not done right, it makes me very grumpy.
Yeah, it's just I think hard in 2024
Well, and
to,
also, like,
but it's just harder.
there's so much thought that goes into that. Like, why is it a secret? Why were they not found? Like, all of the like little minutiae of like why the story like plays out the way it does. And sometimes authors get it right and sometimes they don't.
So it's not
So
one killer. It's not, I don't work to it a lot.
we're gonna ask the hard question now. So you've taken a little bit of a chunk of a break from publishing, but you've been very vocal about it. How was the flow of this book? Because one of the things that you've talked about is like how hard it's been to get words on the page.
It was hard to get words on the page for A New King specifically. And I think in that moment, I really do think the first 70, I that's I'll be we'll talk about it later, but I'll be going back to it. But the first 70% I think is actually the best I've ever written. Best, like the best words I've ever done in my entire life. The last 30 were a very hard struggle for me. And I think in part of it was impacted because I was experiencing a lot of grief and trauma in like my personal life. And the book is all about grief and trauma. Like that's the heart of it. That's the heart of the whole series, but especially that book. And at some point, I've been writing since I was a kid, and I used to be able to write when I was sad, when I was happy. It didn't really matter. Writing was my escape, and it still is my escape. Slapshot, I think, is like the perfect example of like it just has other, there's hard things, but it's overall it's a very light book. And so that was an escape for me, but A New King started to feel like I was just suffering every single day, and it made it so incredibly hard to, essentially when stuff started happening in my life, that's where I pretty much was unable to continue writing from there. Like I would write and I would delete. I would stare at the same page for weeks at a time. I was just, and I held on to it for so long, refusing to just say, maybe I should put this aside for right now and go to somewhere else, because I didn't want to feel like a failure. And I felt like a failure every day that I couldn't, for the first time in my entire life, I couldn't make words happen. I couldn't be happy with what I was writing. So it was really hard. And then it took me probably another like 6 or 7 months to kind of just be like, it's okay. It's okay if you can't do this right now. You'd rather deliver a book that people will think about forever because it's amazing, as opposed to thinking about a book forever because they hated it so much. And so that's when I kind of made the decision to put it aside and move to Slapshot, and it was a breath of fresh air for me. I felt like I could finally breathe again. There's definitely tough topics in the book and a lot of myself that I've put in the book, but overall, like, I needed the relationship between West and Daisy. I needed that just lightness, and it's not for everybody, but I needed it like in my soul. So it flowed very, very well, which was, it felt, oh, I'm gonna get chills. It felt so good after struggling for just so long. And it's a shame because I do love A New King, and I'm actually very excited to get back to it. But yeah, it was
But
grief
you
and trauma
needed
in
that
my
mental separation.
I did. It was like grief and trauma in my own life, and then sitting down to write about grief and trauma every day. It was a bad
It's a
cycle.
lot, yeah. And that's the thing, like so many authors, like every author I've talked to in like the 3 years I've been doing this, like there's a little bit of themselves in every single book. And it's like if you're having those hard moments, then like it's gonna show like in your writing, and you are like your book is a living part of you. So it's like if you're not feeling that connection or you're not feeling your best in those moments, like your book is not going to feel those best either.
And I felt hopeless most of the days when I was trying to write. 'Cause like I said, I had gotten up to the part where I love it. I had gotten to like 70% before stuff kind of started falling down around me, and then I could tell reading through, like, I would sit down and I would just want to cry because I was like, I want this to be good. And I just was hating everything, after that. Like, it just wasn't working out. So it felt really nice to go to the Blades. It really felt like home. And they take a lot out of me, but they don't take a lot out of me the same way that like my darker books do. So it was just, it was just lovely.
So
It
let's
really
talk
was.
Slapshot. Slapshot came out October 4th, 2024. It is a marriage of convenience, friends to lovers. It is a hockey romance. She is the coach's daughter. There might be a couple other ones, but it's not super tropey, which I appreciate, and really just like a really tropey book. So you have loved being back in the Blades world, but I do have a question, and I don't know if you realized you did this because I was skimming back through all of the series like before, like I read Slapshot, because it's been a while since I've been in this world. So we meet Weston, the player, in Holly and Jackson's book. Did you mean to name him after the town that Marshall is from?
No, not at all. Not at all. I just really liked the name West and Weston, and it like fit him really well. And I didn't even realize or remember that I had made Marshall live in Weston until I saw your question, and I was like, did I do that? I guess I did do that.
Well, because
But I
I couldn't.
also.
Well, because I started like Weston and Daisy's book, and I was like, I don't remember when he was first introduced. So I was like, I'm gonna go back through and just kind of like skim read everything. And then I did like, but I didn't come across him. And so I was like, okay, because I just went to like the hockey like sections. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to start doing just a search for West and Daisy, because like Daisy's kind of an anomaly also. Like we hadn't met her yet either. And so I was like, okay, well, when did he actually show up? And then I was like in Marshall in Gwen's book, and Weston popped up, but then I clicked into the like passage. I'm like, oh wait, that's not a person, that's a town. I was like, I wonder if she realized she did this.
Totally did not realize it.
Fast.
The Blaze is like an interesting series to me because I started it not planning to write any other books. It was just going to be Power Play because I was missing hockey so much living in New Orleans. And then I woke up on release day and was like, I'm going to write Andre Beaumont's story. And I have exactly what I want to write for it. And that's kind of how the rest of the series has gone, where I don't think it doesn't have the same, I don't want to say structure as my other series that are very structured, very in their core. And Blades are very much more like standalones within a world, and they all hang out, and they're all hanging out, but like Daisy doesn't pop up in the earlier books. Like, you know that the coach like is married, kind of married, maybe not married. It's like mentioned one time and like that's it. But it kind of has allowed me to jump in and write a book that I want to write and then jump out to go do something else.
I
Like
kind
it
of like that though. And I mean, as someone who likes to read things in order, because, but I have started like macheting series. And it's one of those things like you can jump in on book four and like you won't be lost. You won't have any issues. Like in that, and like you, it is the epitome of the standalone. Like when you're looking at a standalone, an author like touts a book as a standalone, like it needs to be where you could read book three of the series and not read a single other book and you would be content. And like I think that you definitely do that with this series.
Yeah, my other books, I don't. I think maybe the closest could be Nola Hart series, maybe. Technically put a ring on it, but not really. Like you can, but I
There's
wouldn't recommend.
enough little pieces like in book one that like there could be some confusion of connection in book two. Like
Exactly. It's like you could. I don't recommend it, but you could jump in. I try to give enough I guess like information that if you only jump in on book three, you won't be lost. You won't feel the same, maybe like attachment to the other characters, of course, but like you can jump in. But the Blades is very much like you can jump in wherever, and that's okay.
Well, and these ones, like, I love Nick and Mina. Like, they are two of my favorite all-time people in romance. Like, I've vocally, like, announced that to the world many times. But this one, that, like, the banter and the humor is, like, definitely a step up from, like, all of your other series. And I think that's an interesting thing, too. It's like, because your Nolan Knights, like, there's some funny moments, but they're a little more, like, they're definitely contemporary. Like, but your Blades, like, they definitely lend more towards the rom-com
They
than.
do for sure. They have a kind of a weird because, like, Power Play, not really, but the other four, I guess, do have some darker themes that kind of pop in and pop out. But overall, they're very light, and I try to keep the banter incredibly light. And I'm totally biased, but I really do think Slapshot has my best banter that I've ever written. It was like to the point where I was like, y'all have to shut up. Like we have to stop talking and do other things now. Like please make an end. And they're still bantering, and I'm like, please guys, like can we wrangle it in a little bit?
But I think that's great. It just really shows like that strong like connection that they have with each other. And like West and Daisy like have their set of banter because they are best friends. They have been best friends for years. Like they met in college and like their meeting was kind of unexpected in the way that you did it, but then like they're like each other's person and
They
they
are. They're
know
soulmates.
that, but they don't move that forward until they
Yeah.
have to.
I wanted to write a Friends to Lovers because the only other one that I've really done is Love Me Tomorrow, but they were both pining for each other, right? Like Owen and Savannah both were like wanting to be together, but of course he had briefly dated her sister, so it kind of put an obstacle in between them. But otherwise, I've never done like a true friends to lovers where they're best friends. And so I was really excited to write that, but it also meant that I had to think really hard about why wouldn't they have moved in a certain direct, like why wouldn't they have moved into a romantic way in 9 years? Why wouldn't that have happened? And so it forced me to really think hard about their individual characters and their individual journeys and why it would take them, 9 years to get to a romantic place.
Well, and one of the things that I dislike about friends to lovers is often that like it's gonna ruin the friendship type of thing. And I appreciate that you didn't focus on that. Like it wasn't that like, but that was one of the agreements when they became friends. Like we will be friends, we will stay friends. Like don't fall in love with me. Like that was one of the key rules, like when they first meet. So it's like they have that, like there's never of that we're gonna ruin the friendship. It's the I'm gonna break the rule type of thing. Like this is the rule that we've made, but they don't really vocalize that, which I appreciate. Like they both have feelings for each other. Neither one has acted on it. Like neither one like really talks about it with anybody because like again, like they're each other's person and like they have other friends, but that connection isn't the same. But that is one of the things that I like hate about friends to lovers is the But if we move forward, we're going to ruin the friendship. Because even like once they get married and like they are moving forward, like they both are content just being together. And they vocalize that.
It was, I think, so I didn't make it. So two parts. Daisy, I wanted to make sure that she had her own experiences before the friendship even began, which kind of influenced how she moved into their friendship. And it, you know, her own, without doing too spoilery, you know, she had her own trauma that she didn't really realize or recognize necessarily as a teenager, what was exactly happening to her. But it absolutely impacted how she moved in her friendship with West, and how it took her years to realize this person just makes me happy. Like, I love him, but I love him in not just a friendship way. But it wasn't an instantaneous thing. And I really wanted to make sure that it wasn't a, I've been pining after this person for 10 years and he's never once looked at me, because I think that can be a pitfall of friends to lovers. And I didn't want it to be that way. I wanted it to be more of, you know, there's no hard definitive, like, oh, in 2 years, she suddenly realized she loved him. But it was more of a, over time, she realized how she felt. And then for West, it's not explicitly stated, but he is Demi. And so in my head, while I was writing him, that's how I wrote him to be. But in hockey, right, there's like the heteronormative expectation, and that's just kind of what is expected of you. And so I wanted to play and kind of understand his character from that perspective, where if he wasn't necessarily presented to him to be in a romantic element, he would have continued his whole life friendship with Daisy, because she is his most important person in his life, and he doesn't see it in any other capacity. He sees her. And so as the romantic elements begin, he realizes that having that romantic side with Daisy means having more of Daisy. And that's all he's ever wanted, is just her. I'm gonna cry. But like, so I just loved exploring that side of both of their relationships, where they would both be equally happy to be platonically married forever, if that only meant that they could have each other.
Well,
So
and I think that the way that you wrote West, with the fact that like eye contact is sometimes an issue and hard for him to do, and like he has some little quirks that like she fully understands. And it's like, because there was one moment where like in the book, I can't remember where it's at, but they're having a conversation, and it's actually a fairly meaningful conversation, and like, but he's staring like over her shoulder, and she's like, but it doesn't bug her because that is like how he functions, basically. And I thought that was a really like intentional like goodness that you added to him, because like it gave him that like the way he was in the prologue that you introduced him, like it gave it substance. Like it wasn't just like a throwaway like thing. And the fact that like he had his little quirks, and like eye contact is sometimes an issue for him, even if he's having those meaningful conversations. But I mean, he's just inherently a good guy,
He
which I
is. He's,
appreciate.
yeah, it was. I tend to write grumpy heroes. I don't think I write necessarily like, I don't want to say bad, because like no heroes are bad, right? Like everyone, like they're all
I mean,
good in their
even
perspective.
Andre, like Andre was kind of an asshole, but he wasn't like a bad
Yeah,
guy.
he wasn't a bad guy. He just has a really hard shell. But I wanted West to just be just inherently good, you know? Like, he's just, he, like, I kind of look at the both of them as they're both kind of sunshine. Like, they're both in their own ways. Like, they both have their things, like him with his parents and Daisy with her kind of emotional trauma that she's experienced. But they're both just really sunshine characters, particularly with each other. And I really liked, it's what I needed to write. So it really, it's brought me a lot of joy to see people really enjoying it as well. Just because I know it's not, as one, it's not typical for my books. In any case, I tend to lean into the enemies to lovers. I love that like hard, fast-paced banter in that way. But I loved writing them. I just loved writing them so much. And I hope that people could feel it, like, while they were reading it.
Well, and Daisy, like she was a very like up person most of the time, but she had her moments, which I appreciate because like it's one of those things, like even like happy people have those moments. And like her, like a big stasis of the book is like Daisy's downfall and like the reason like they get married, and you we're not going to tell you what that is because you got to read it. But like I feel like that, like in itself, like the way that it was dealt with, except for her dad, like I wanted to punch her dad.
I totally get it.
But when he like explains things and things like come to a culmination at the end, I'm like, well, that makes a little more sense. But seriously, like wouldn't you have done it differently? So I got a
I
little mad
want
at him, but
wanted to write different forms of family and different levels of family. So I'm not surprised that you felt that way about Coach Sam,
Well,
because
and it's
it was totally intentional, because I really wanted to play into you have his family. Right, where
or
he
kind of
doesn't,
toxic, like his parents.
very very toxic, and then you have her relationship with her mother, which is non-existent, and then you have her relationship with her father, which is has always been good, but now it's super bumpy, and she doesn't understand what's going on. And then you have his relationship with the hockey players, right, his chosen family. So I wanted to show a lot of different, I guess, versions of family all within one book, and to kind of show like there's no wrong family. Sometimes it just is what you end up with.
Well, and it also shows like even like with as good as relationship she had with her dad, like I mean, he didn't know how to navigate what was happening. Like, and he didn't have, like, couldn't talk to her because, like, I mean, he has his own trauma from, like, the relationship with her mom. And I thought, like, yes, I wanted to hurt him. But at the end, I was like, well, it makes sense. And I understand that. And I was like, I get it. And he does make up for it. Like, don't
Does,
worry,
yeah.
friends. Like, he makes up for it. And so it's okay. But also in that moment, like, it was kind of nice because she had Wes to fall back on. Like,
Yes.
she always, like, he was always her safe space, her landing zone. And I think that was a really good way to, like, culminate the friends to lovers aspect of the story, which there's
Yeah.
not a lot of lovers happening in this story.
It's not spicy like my other books. There's still
There's
three seasons, which
moments,
I
but
do,
honestly, like, I got to a point, I was like, are they ever going to have sex?
They had to move slower, I think, especially for West to have the realizations of, oh, he wants her. It's not just he loves her, but like he wants her in a sexual sort of capacity as well. So it had to move slower, and I kind of just let them dictate how they wanted it to move. Like, it's also never specifically, slight spoiler, it's never really said whether or not he is actually a virgin when they do get together, and I purposely left that blank because I liked that date. It's not important to Daisy. It's just not. Whether he's been with people or not been with people, she does not care. And I also wanted to go back to the prologue where he just doesn't understand why people are so obsessed with it. Like, he
Yeah, why is
doesn't,
it a big deal?
why is it a big deal? He just doesn't get it. So there are definitely moments where I really made sure to kind of allow West to just be West. And one of those things was that they move a bit slower on the spice side.
Not saying it was a bad thing in relationship. I was just, wait, what is going on here?
I will say the bath scene is one of the hottest things I've ever written. There may not be like P in the V, but it is hot.
No. It was like that was a really good one. And honestly, I was like, I like almost was expecting it to go farther than it did, but I think if you had when it go farther, it wouldn't have seemed as genuine as it did, like when they were like in
No.
that moment, which I don't always necessarily need that, but I was just like, when is it happening? But it's okay.
What's going on?
But it worked. It did work for their story. And that's the thing, like a slow burn, as long as it works and it makes sense, then I'm okay with it. And this did work and makes sense. But I was like, come on, come on.
On, I know.
So I do have a question though. So you seem to have a thing for twins because we have Tori and Weston, and then we have Owen and Gage.
I know. I don't know why.
Are we going to get a book for Tori?
I don't know.
Because he's intriguing to me, as is Amber.
Oh, I like Amber. I think Amber's so sweet. Like,
I
I
do
just
too.
like I
I felt really
I
bad for her.
feel really horrible for her too. I actually had Michael with things that happened at the end of the book. I had him researching. I was like, what can we get him on, please? So like
You're like,
go.
use your
Go,
job to help
it's your
me.
job. Go do research for me. So he's just like sitting there going through laws of Massachusetts. And like, and he's like, oh, we could get this. And I'm like, but that's not enough time in jail for him. He needs to stay there for longer.
See,
He's like,
this
okay.
is like quality using your resources for good.
Exactly. So I don't know. I don't know how I end up always writing because there's no female twins in any of my books, just twins.
So you
So
could do a second gen where one of the
I could.
twins has female twins.
Yeah, I could do that. So so I don't, Tori's really interesting to me. I don't know if I would write him a book, but only because I don't know if I would put him in the, if he would have to be in the Blades world, and I
He could just
don't
be a standalone, a little
it could be
novella,
successful.
perhaps.
I just, the only, my concern is that it, so sometimes with Gage and Owen learning writing, I really like writing brothers. I really enjoy it. But with the Blades, the hard thing is that is balancing the hockey. And so I could easily put Tori into it. He it could be standalone. He could hook up with the equipment manager. He there could be so many possibilities. My only concern is that it would be a repeat of West's like per feelings with the family because Tori feels similar. And I always get nervous about having something feel like too repetitive. I don't want people to feel like I've read
I'm
this
just
book already.
saying he's an intriguing character, so I would not be disappointed if we got a book
Definitely.
for him or if a book for a man Amber came up. Like, I wouldn't be sad about that because I feel like after her trauma, she deserves a happy ending.
Deserves a happy ending. She really, really does. I really liked her. It made me happy just to like have her pop up into the book.
Okay, so what's next?
So I'm going back to A New King.
Okay.
So that will be, I will wrap it up. I'm feeling very rejuvenated. Like Slapshot saved me, I feel like, and I feel pretty good going back to A New King. So that'll come out sometime in 2025. I'm not trying to rush it into the last few months of 2024. And then I'm gonna kind of sit and think about what I want to do next, to be honest. I haven't really decided where I want to go. If I want to deliver more dark stuff, which the Broken Crown, there's I've already written threads in for a spinoff, or if I want to write more hockey, or if I want
Go
to
back to
go.
contemporary.
No, I was going to say skew off course and write a fantasy. So
I
like I
mean,
yeah.
romanticy is like the go-to right now.
Yeah, I always joke that if Broken Crown, if I had just written it as a romanticy, it would have gone crazy because it has a lot of those elements and it's can be,
Well,
I think, a bit confusing for people when they pick it up as a just a dark romance. They're like, what is that?
honestly, like one of those offshoots, like ha if you turned that offshoot into romanticy, like nobody would like blink.
Yeah, so I'm like I because I think my dark stuff tends to have it has a lot of world building, and I think sometimes it can be a turn off to people when they go in expecting a like a specifically like a dark romance, like it can be a lot, you know. I've seen in reviews that it can be a lot. So I feel like romanticism would be a good it would be a good place for the stories that I like to write. And I think there wouldn't be quite as much, like, I don't want to say pushback, but it would make sense. Like the amount of world building would make sense in that framework. So, but I'm not sure. So I'm gonna after while I'm writing A New King, and then right after I'm gonna kind of think about where my muse
Where your
is.
muse takes you.
Yeah, and
Not a
go
bad
there.
thing.
No, not a bad thing.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for letting me hang out with you.
I mean, it's
It
always a good
was fun.
time.
I know it is always a good time.
I mean, if only we weren't states away.
I know we're like all like this.
We are
Yeah,
like stacked
it's
too.
like it is stacked, just like a few states in the middle.
Just a few hours. I mean, see, this is where, so there was a question asked, like, if you could have a superpower, what would it be? I was like, I would like to teleport because then I can go anywhere. Like, I could have like come visited you in
Yeah.
like a blink, and then I could come home and like it would still be the same day. I would like to teleport.
I would also choose teleport because it means that I would never have to fly again.
Yeah.
And I hate
Well,
flying.
there was one, like, somebody asked a question and it was like, if it was to my daughter, and she's like, would your mom like to fly or be able to read my mom, like her mind? I was like, ooh, I would like to fly. I do not know, want to know what's going on in there. And she's like, wouldn't it be fun? I'm like, no.
Oh.
I was a 10-year-old girl once. I don't need to go back into that mind.
I'm good, thank you.
But thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for hanging out on this quick shot of Romance Author Spotlight with Maria Lewis. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.